The next interview that I'm about to drop is with Amanda Kramer. She did a fantastic film called Lady World that I don't know if I can really recommend to you guys. There's a certain group of you who are really going to like it, but this is probably, of all the films I saw at the festival, the most challenging. And that's why I really liked it. It's a weird story where the movie starts off immediately after an earthquake, and there's eight girls having a sleepover, and they're trapped underground. And a pseudo Lord of the Flies situation starts to build. But the sound design in this movie, and it's all a cappella soundtrack, and it just does these things that really immerse you into the psychology of what's happening. And it definitely was very stressful. It was a super stressful movie, but I like that it was a super stressful movie. I think that Amanda Kramer is one of the most charming and creative and unique people I've ever had the opportunity to talk to. Of all of the interviews that I did, it was the one that I really genuinely thought her and I could just talk for hours, and not necessarily talk about her films, but talk about just the psychology and theory. And you'll hear a lot of that in this interview. We don't actually discuss the movie that much. We discuss ideas. And I am so excited to see what new ideas come from her mind. This film has really put her on my radar as, if I see a movie is coming out and it's Amanda Kramer's film, it immediately jumps up on the priorities list for me. So please enjoy this interview, and definitely go, and if you are at a festival, give Lady World a shot and see how you feel about it. Here's the interview.
I just want a copy of it.
Okay, I'll give you a copy.
To read for the children I don't want to have.
For sure, exactly. Same. Same. We can heal the world's children while not having them. You know, I think.
So I am sitting here with Amanda Kramer, who put on a display, is what I'm going to describe.
Really?
Lady World.
Thank you. What a cool word. Yeah. And I've not gotten that word yet.
And I actually talked to you a little bit yesterday where I told you that this was the best movie that I don't know who I could possibly recommend it to.
I know, and what a great soundbite for me for the rest of my life. On the book jacket of my life, that's an incredible pull quote, so thank you for that.
Well, the movie, and it's really tough to talk about the movie without really spoiling a lot of the charm of the movie, so I'd really like to
charm,
we'll throw around it. So I kind of want to just mention a few pieces and then just kind of get to know you as a person a little bit more on the show, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, come on in.
Okay, so I want to mention, for people who think that they might want to check out this movie, that you have to prepare for what the movie does to you, which is that as the characters start to lose their mind, the sound design almost tries to help the audience lose their mind along with the characters. And I'm fairly certain that's intentional, correct?
Absolutely intentional.
You just have moments where the soundtrack is just multiple voices screaming for a minute. And it does a really cool effect to the viewer where you're just like, you're getting the panic that the kids in this movie are feeling just by the sounds that are happening around you the entire time. So I seriously applaud you for just a well-constructed film that, like, almost, as much as it's visually beautiful, I feel like you could close your eyes and get the exact same effect from just listening to the film.
Thank you. I feel the same way. It's a floor-to-ceiling approach that I don't know that everyone takes, but I'm meticulous, which is to say I'm anal, which is to say I'm a Virgo, which is to say I'm a maniac, and I think about these things, and I definitely feel like when you hire your people, all of your department heads, you want everyone working in tandem, and so you want your sound designer to understand what your makeup artist is doing, and you want your production designer to understand what your cinematographer is doing, so that you set one tone. and the film is all working together to get you to that place of either mass hysteria or whatever it is you're setting out to do. And for me, like, pure panic can't just be carried by my actors. Everyone else has to put the work in to provide an inescapable, unbearable moment for the audience. And we're all sort of holding each other's hands to get you there. And my sound team, they're amazing. They're geniuses. But also, they're just watching the work and being motivated by the work as well. So they feel the panic. And then they're like, okay, here we go. We'll pile the voices on. We'll add to that panic.
I overheard someone talking about a movie, and I think they were talking about your movie.
Okay.
And what I liked about it was it made me realize something that I didn't even think about, was that this movie, they were talking about how they think that everyone died and that they're in purgatory, and that's why certain people disappear at certain times and stuff, is that they've been ascended into different planes. And I'm like, I think that this movie's brilliant because you can watch it as a metaphor, or you can just watch it as, no, they're just, there was an earthquake and they're trapped.
Yeah. Someone watched it and had a theory that it's all just a game, like a birthday game, and that they could always get out and that they were never trapped, and that it's just part of a long sort of role-playing game that you play when you're at a teenage birthday party. And I loved that opinion as well. I personally prefer when people come to me and tell me what my movie is about than the other way around. I made the work and I just kind of want to sit back, and now I love people's interpretations of it.
Yeah, I think that that's the fun. I think that's one of the best things about creating is like
starting a conversation,
yeah,
asking more questions than providing answers, allowing people to have their own theories. I mean, like, hello, mystery.
Hey, you created a discussion film. I mean, that's what you did.
Thanks.
So this is your first feature though, correct?
It's the first feature that has, like, really, I've really rolled and run with. I mean, okay. You make work and you kind of, like, it's private work that no one really sees. And this is the first feature film that, like, has eyes on it. So.
So.
Is that a translatable sound?
It made motions on the bar. So that's, it means something. So, like, where do you pull your inspiration from? Because this is, of all the films at this genre-based film festival, is the one that I can't figure out a genre for it to fall into.
Yeah, I'm genreless, and my agent doesn't love it. no, I mean, I like the idea of a women's picture. I like a European art house. I like psychological horror. And these things all come together to make a dreamscape, nightmarescape. I don't make traditional horror because I just don't think I'd be very good at it, though I'm a fan of it. Similarly with sci-fi, similarly with Westerns. Like, these are genres that loom so large in my viewing life, but in my artist life, everything's so much murkier. And I'm pulling these feelings from a deeper place, so they come out intrinsically me, but not really categorizable.
I mean, how many of us as people are categorizable?
Thank you. Zero, 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 zero. Except for a few people who might just be considered evil. But yeah. I won't name those people, so.
I mean, that some of them might be living in a giant white house right now.
Exactly. Some of them might be. Some of them might be. But I think even in that zone, we're in a place and a time where that's questioned of whether or not that person can be considered evil. So I've all of the characters in the film, I want them all to seem terrible. I want them all to seem selfish. I want them all to seem vain and bratty and childish. It shouldn't just be you come across one villain, one hero. You should feel distance from all of them, and you should feel like they're all out for themselves.
Well, and there's moments where there's characters that I really like, and as the film progresses, I like them less because they change, and that's life. People change in life.
Thank you. And I also think character arcs traditionally tend to move you in one direction, but it's nice to think of a character arc that zigs and zags you away from liking them, back to liking them, feeling for them, feeling away from them. That's important in art, and it's somewhat lost. It's like the films of the 70s might be the last time that we saw actors and directors really challenge relatability.
I agree. I think the 90s did a very absurd version of that.
Sure.
That I think is why people like it, is that you had like these Clerks and these slacker characters that you just like, I love these characters because I want to be them.
We will never, ever, ever have the 90s again. No. The 90s is the most special.
I've said this before. I think the 90s is really cool because it's the only decade that I can think of where the most commercially successful stuff was also the most critically successful stuff.
Absolutely. And where weirdos were being applauded and not asked to shapeshift.
Yeah.
Where they were like, yeah, in the forefront, and you look back at some of those movies and you're like, how on earth did they get the support that they got? And you realize it was a weirdly open-minded time, and also the end of sarcasm, the end of wit, the end of irony, the end of cynicism, yeah, as we know it. The turning of the millennium is a defined time where like all of the negative energy that was fun to have, it's not fun anymore.
No, and it's, I always use this as an example to talk to people about, but I always say like, it's really interesting if you look at music videos. I think music videos are a great like spotlight on history, but you look at music videos pre-9/11 versus post-9/11, and like pre-9/11, everything was bright colors and it was flashy suits and everyone was drinking expensive drinks, and then all of a sudden the 2000s happen and everything's dark and it's moody and it's black and white and everything suddenly looks like REM's Everybody Hurts for every, yeah, music video. And it's just the way that things, how history kind of affects the track that we're going on.
Sure. And we're all taking ourselves so seriously.
Yeah.
Because it's a time where seriousness is sort of, it's necessary. It's dire, a dire time. It's the end of the world, actually.
Yeah.
It really, truly is the end of the world.
And I feel fine.
And so my work is so serious, but my life is not that serious. Yeah. I mean, I think being alive is kind of a joke.
Yeah.
I think it's a very special joke, but I think if you can't laugh at yourself and sort of understand that human consciousness is just the most bizarre thing ever, you lose like every sensation. So I make serious work. I don't make comedies, but I try to laugh about that and I try to enjoy that.
But I mean, using that to talk about this movie, I think I come from a belief structure that, you know, as bad as things are, life is beautiful around us. And I like to think that Lady World kind of shows what happens when you're cut off from that world and you don't have that beauty around you anymore. You're just trapped in this one singular space and you lose your mind. Not appreciating it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, claustrophobia is, it's a very personal thing. I don't feel claustrophobic in spaces, but I feel claustrophobic in my body.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like a soul just beating up against bones, being like, Amanda, escape! Escape this body! Escape this body! And I know what it feels like to be in friendships and in relationships and just want to be the other person.
Yeah.
Want to like feel what they feel and have some empathy. And I think when you're trapped with people and trapped with yourself, like you lose it. You just lose it.
All right. Well, we could keep on talking forever, but unfortunately there's a line waiting. So where can people see this movie? Is there a plan of a distribution or is it just hitting the festivals for now?
Right now we're just in the festival fun zone. So we'll be at London BFI. We'll be at Denver International Film Festival. A few more to come after that. Hopefully we'll be in New York and Los Angeles and then get some distribution. And then I'm sure you'll be able to watch it on your iPhone and then the world will end as, yeah, you're watching it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.